Good morning. We've got two readings this morning, and I feel like the first reading needs a content warning if you're feeling a bit low, but don't worry, the second reading will make you feel a little bit better. So it's from Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 1, 1 to 11. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labour at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but here the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear is full of hearing. What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, there is something new. It was here already, long ago. If it was here before our time, there is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come, who will not be remembered by those who follow. So now the good news. So this is from Matthew. It's verse 11 and verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God.
I have a feeling that that hymn was so old that some of you won't have known it. Written in about 1700, it's quite amazing. Now, all through our lives, we see change, don't we? We used to, when we were very young, with our parents, and then find that it all changed because we had to go to school. And when we finally got the hang of it, we had to move to secondary school. And at first we wonder how it's going to all work out. And we get used to a pattern of working with a range of classes and more classes, then home for a meal and some homework now. And then the dreaded exams. Having moved out of school life into the wider world. Maybe college, maybe a first job. And suddenly, overnight, you begin to, although you're now free from school, each day has a new pattern, and you're kind of free, but not free. Accommodation becomes a pressing need. And then your first date, wow, was that real? And after some, perhaps you would like to marry. And when that happens, things get really tough for a time as you begin to sort out new routines and a whole new way of life. Things that you hadn't thought of, which changed the picture. After many years, there came a time about retirement, which is what I'm doing now, you see. And as time drew nearer by the year and then by the month, they started giving me advice. What plans have you got for retirement? What will you do? What hobbies do you have? There will be things that you've wanted to all your life. But then came some more serious questions. How do I organise my life when all the landmarks have been taken away? You don't have to get up at crack of dawn or even at all. And then came some good advice. You need to get a routine. Amazing, I've been living with routines all my life. And you realise that these set routines, set by somebody else, now you've got to set your own routines. A time to be at work, a time to go home, a time to do shopping, a time to go to bed, a time to get up. And despite various holidays and other excitements, as you look back over time, you perhaps realise how boring the whole thing has been. And now in retirement, there's a danger that it will get 10 times worse, 10 times more boring. And so the advice comes through again, get a routine. Now, I don't know about you, but as we read that first part of that chapter of Ecclesiastes, we realise that this great wise man, probably Solomon, with all his wealth and experience, was utterly sick of routine. As first words of the reading, everything is meaningless. You work hard, but what for? As you look around, people come and people go, but nothing really changes. The sun comes up, and after it's come up, it sets again, just like the day before and just like the day which is about to come. The wind comes and goes, then it comes again and goes again. It all seems so utterly pointless. So here we go again. Can I break this routine? Can I find something different to interest me? How can I be clever in this? Maybe I could explore a shameful secret and get a kick out of it. Well, the only thing is, shameful secrets will always sooner or later come to the surface. How could I live with that? Maybe I could be clever in a different way and invent something new, yet even then, God thought of it first. And actually, you see, if God hadn't already created the atom the way it is, none of our computers or phones would work. Unbelievably, God got there first. You can almost hear the writer saying, why are we here? What is the point of it all? It's all happened before, and it will all happen again. And as I began to think about what Ecclesiastes was saying, I began to hear the words of that hymn go round in my head. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. The thing that was burning into my mind was this. Our routines may be boring, they may be changing, but in all of it there remains the option of praising and worshipping our Father God. And from then on I began to searching to see if this writer, this man to whom God had given great wisdom, if he had ever come to any different conclusions about the meaninglessness of life. Is life really the road to nowhere, or is there something more? And still the hymn kept burning itself into my mind. Of his deliverance I will boast, till all that are distressed from my example comfort take, charm their griefs to rest. Finally, I realised that Tim had passed me a little notebook of notes on these readings. And I thought, well, perhaps I would read it and see what it said. And one piece of advice was, it suggested that I should read through the whole Ecclesiastes. I thought, oh goodness. But it said, it wouldn't take long, so it said. So I started reading. So what did I find? More of the same. How boring is life? Why could Solomon the wise man find no purpose in life? And then I found something in the two last verses of the book. I came across these words, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Suddenly I realised that all through the book, he had been sniping at secularism. Without God, there is nothing. I began to realise that why that hymn had become so important to the understanding of what Solomon was saying in his thrashing out of the value of existence. Fear him, ye saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Make you his service your delight, Your wants shall be his care. So Solomon draws his conclusion in one short sentence. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. He has suddenly made a gigantic leap into the satisfaction that comes by cooperating with God. Instead of operating oblivious of any spiritual dimension, he's now saying that by working with God rather than working without God, we can gain a security which routine alone will not provide. Well, I guess that worked out well for Solomon, but what about for you and me? Because sometimes we ourselves find ourselves stuck in pointless routine. How do we get out of that so that we can enjoy something of Solomon's vision of working with God? How can we stop ourselves from becoming utterly depressed? Solomon's conclusion was fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. But we find it was taken further in that short clip that we read from Matthew's Gospel. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Gosh, this really upsetting, this sort of bouncing around. everything's moving. Right, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or as the Message puts it, are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So what we have here is not a reminder of our duty to fear God and keep his commandments, but to invest in a way of life which is in a relationship with Jesus. It's translated here, I'll show you how. Walk with me and work with me. Keep company with me. And this trims us back to the very basics of our Christian faith. We cannot have a relationship with Christ because our sinful nature creates a barrier to communication. But Christ on the cross died to break that barrier, and it means we have on the table a free offer of forgiveness. And with forgiveness comes release and the opening of a door to the kingdom of heaven. And the only thing stopping us is whether we accept the deal or whether we don't. By accepting the deal, the sin barrier is removed and we become adopted into the family of God as his children, with all the benefits that come through walking in relationship with God and his son Jesus. And by walking with him, we find a way to travel unburdened. And we find we're learning the unforced rhythms of grace, and we can live more freely and lightly. So have we found that our life is full of boring and meaningless routine? Indeed, Jesus once said, what good will it be for someone who gains the whole world but loses his own soul? In the same sentence, he also said, the Son of Man is going to come in glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. The big picture is therefore not our daily routine, but the ultimate kingdom of Christ. If you are stuck in daily chores, then try refocusing on the big picture. As the hymn says, may the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do or say. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. Peace of mind. How marvellous, how fantastic. Our responsibilities have not gone away, but with Jesus we can become more relaxed about dealing with them. Walking in the light of the Lord is better than walking on our own. And so I end with the last verse of that hymn. Fear him, you saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Make you his service your delight. His want, your wants shall be his care.